Welcome to Living in the Light and the Bible Teaching Ministry of Ann Graham Lotz. Her message today from the book of Daniel is titled, Practicing What You Believe.
As you and I seek to worship God in a world of the counterfeit, be true to Christ.
That's the choice Daniel made, even knowing he could be put to death at any time by the pagan king Nebuchadnezzar. Here's Ann with today's message beginning in Daniel chapter 2.
Daniel makes time to praise the Lord. You see his attitude, not only one of prayer, but one of praise, as he praises the God of heaven in verse 20. It says, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his." Verse 22, he reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and so often that's where the problem is, isn't it? Deep down in the dark, hidden recesses of the human heart, or the human emotions, or the human mind, human relationships, he reveals the deep hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. "I thank and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king." God answered Daniel's prayer. And I see Daniel glorifying God in his attitude of prayer and praise. And then he glorified God in the answer that he gave the king. Because Daniel, after he had praised the Lord, he went to the king and he was presented to the king. And in verse 26, the king says, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?" And you can imagine the tension and everybody quiet and looking at Daniel. And you would have thought Daniel would have said, "Well, king, as a matter of fact, if you will give me my freedom and let me go back to Jerusalem, or if you will give me $100,000 a year, a new car and a house in the mountains, if you'll give me a maid full-time or something, then I'll see what I can do." Or you would have thought at the very least Daniel would have said, "Well, king, you know, I've been up all night and I've prayed and God has just given me so much wisdom and so much understanding, and yes, I can do this for you." I want you to look at the way Daniel answers. He says, "No, I can't. No wise man, enchanter, magician, diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked. It's beyond human ability. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen." Do you see Daniel in his answer giving the glory to God? Verse 29, "The revealer of mysteries has shown you what is going to happen." Verse 45, "The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future." Daniel just giving glory to God in the answer he gives the king. Heard someone say once that they didn't mind giving the glory to God as long as they could have a 10% commission. You know, "I'll give the glory to God as long as I can have some of the credit." And Daniel was not taking any of the credit. He wanted to put the focus of the king squarely on God. And so no wonder the king glorifies God. In verse 46, Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel. And the king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings, a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery." Do you see Nebuchadnezzar giving glory and praise to God? Because Daniel was true to his commission at work. Who is praising and giving glory to God? I'm not talking about another Christian. I'm just talking about somebody at work. Somebody who's had a problem, but God has used you to help them find the solution. And are they praising God? Thanking you, because God has used you, but they see through you and acknowledge that God has done this for them. Daniel, working in a world of confusion and crisis, didn't get caught up in the panic. He didn't get caught up in the confusion. He didn't get caught up in the problem. Daniel was true to his commission. He knew his commission wasn't to save his life. His commission was to glorify God. And he was true to his commission and caused the king to glorify God. Daniel glorified God in his walk. Daniel glorified God as he worked. And thirdly, Daniel and his three friends glorified God as they worshiped. And actually, Daniel isn't in this chapter because we left him in chapter 2 in the royal court. And this chapter involves just the provincial officials, but we feel Daniel present in chapter 3 in his spirit because he and his friends are so like-minded that they've made the same decisions and the same resolve. But we see them worshiping in a world of the counterfeit. And haven't we been made aware of that in the past weeks? All of the counterfeit religions and cults and things offered out there. You and I are worshiping, and to worship means to attribute worth to God, to focus our attention on God. And the Bible says we worship Him through our obedience, our praise, living our lives for Him, putting Him first. And we are seeking to worship God in a world of the counterfeit. And so in chapter 3, we see that the whole world was preoccupied with a false god. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 90 feet high, 9 feet wide, and set it up on the plain of Jura in the province of Babylon. Now, a statue that tall and that skinny on a flat plain would look like the Empire State Building. And it was a statue of a man. In my mind's eye, I have it pictured like the Oscar at the Academy Awards, just a tall, skinny, golden statue out there in the middle of the plain. And everybody was preoccupied with this false god because it was really just made out of wood overlaid with gold. It was the image of a man, but it was set up as a god. And I see people today preoccupied with a false god, and it's the image of man. They have made up a god like themselves, and everybody's preoccupied with man and what I can do and what I can be and where I can go and what I can do and the God within myself, and they're just preoccupied with a false god. And not only are we preoccupied with a false god, but there is a proclamation of a false message going on. The message goes out by these false prophets in verse 4. The herald loudly proclaims to all the people who gathered around this statue and tells them when they hear the music, they're to bow down and worship this statue as God, or they'll be thrown into the fiery furnace. And so there is a false message encouraging everybody who's preoccupied with this false god now to worship this image as God, and music is involved. Aristotle said that music has the power to form character. And you listen to the music today, it's being used to encourage people to worship a false god. And then the motivation was, if you don't, you're going to be thrown in the fiery furnace. You will never survive in this day and time if you don't join in what everybody else is doing and worship the false god. False preoccupation, false proclamation, false participation. Everybody had been invited, who was anybody in the kingdom. You think about it for a moment, the status of that invitation. I mean, if you got an invitation to come to the plain of Jura and worship this statue, you were somebody. It meant you were important, that Nebuchadnezzar recognized you as being a person with influence in his kingdom. All the magistrates and the judges and the mayors and the senators and the representatives and all of those people were invited. And I can imagine them there around the foot of the statue, looking around to see who else is there, and just so glad everybody's seeing that they're there. And it actually was everybody, I guess, below the royal court, because Daniel wasn't involved, but everybody else who was anybody in Babylon was there. And when the music played, and when the proclamation went out, knowing that they would be thrown into the fiery furnace if they didn't bow down, everybody worshiped the false god. Everybody was caught up in worshiping the image of a man. And as you and I look around us today, don't we see a lot of participation in the false? Even people who sit next to us in church, even people who call themselves by God's name, and included in this group would have been the others who came from Jerusalem and Judah, and they're all preoccupied with the false god, which is man. They're all listening to a proclamation of the false, encouraging them to bow down before him, and they're all participating in it. We call it secular humanism, we call it the New Age philosophy, or maybe we just call it being who we can be and doing anything we can do and asserting our rights and being the women of the 90s, you know, liberated, free, and aggressive, and just worshiping a false god. Everybody bowed down except Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. When everybody bowed, they stood. You know why? Because back in chapter 1, they had made the choice not to defile themselves. But you know, you think, wait a minute, this is 20 years later. And in 20 years, don't you think they could have weakened in their resolve? Don't you think they could have lived in Babylon so long they would just do as the Babylonians do and be willing to compromise? And God knows I really worship him in my heart. It doesn't matter if I bow down. After 20 years, these three guys were just as strong in the resolve they had made as they had been the first moment they made it. They made the choice and they were still keeping the commitment. And they were living in the confidence that they were better off because they were putting God first. It didn't seem like that on the short term, because they were worshiping in a world of counterfeit, and they were true to Christ. And I know it's in an Old Testament sense, but that's my challenge to you. As you and I seek to worship God in a world of the counterfeit, be true to Christ. And they were true to Christ when they were criticized for not bowing down like everybody else was. In verse 8, it says they were denounced, and that word denounced literally means they were torn into pieces, not physically, but verbally. The people behind their back were talking about them and accusing them and just shredding them verbally. Now, who is criticizing you? Who is just tearing you into pieces behind your back because you refuse to join in and do what everybody else is doing? Participate like everybody else is. Worshiping the false god that everybody else is, and you refuse to bow and you refuse to bend, and somebody's criticizing you. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego didn't say anything. You don't have to run around and defend yourself when you're criticized like that behind your back. You just ignore it. Never mind. You've made the decision to put God first, and you're going to live by that decision. But not only were they criticized, they were actually confronted. They were dragged up before the king, and the king is just incredulous that anybody would defy him. And so in verse 13, he's furious with rage. And he summons Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these men were brought before him. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you don't serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now I'm going to give you a second chance. And when you hear the music, fall down and worship the image I made. It will be very good. If you don't worship it the second chance I give you, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand?" His confrontation at that point moved from that of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. He was actually challenging God, wasn't he? Because he was saying, "I'm the greatest king in the world. There is not a god who can stand against me. No god can rescue you from my hand." Very serious when the world challenges God like that. But he challenged God, and when he confronted them to their face, and he challenged them to compromise to their face, then they spoke up. And I want you to see their answer, because it may be you'll be challenged and you don't participate and you don't bow down and you're remaining true to Christ, and somebody's going to verbally shred you, and then somebody's going to haul you up before the king and maybe threaten your job or threaten your position or threaten a relationship, or I don't know what will take place, but drastic consequences, a fiery furnace, if you don't participate. Look at their answer, verse 16. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. Nebuchadnezzar, we don't have to think about this. We don't have to discuss this amongst ourselves. We don't have to pray about it. We know what our answer is going to be. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, O king." Because they knew even if they died, they would be rescued and taken to glory with God. "Even if he does not, and we burn to a crisp in the fiery furnace, we want you to know, O king, we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." You can just stick it in your ear. You see their confidence? They know if they put God first, ultimately they're going to be better off. They've made the choice. They're keeping the commitment. They're absolutely confident they're better off than those who would compromise. Would you be true to Christ when you're criticized? Be true to Christ when you're challenged. Be true to Christ when you're condemned. And somebody comes up to you and says, "In that case, you're fired. In that case, I never want to see you again. In that case, I'm leaving." Whatever they say, I mean, the worst thing happens, happens. Nebuchadnezzar is so angry, he doesn't give them the second chance. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. His attitude towards them changed. It means literally his expression changed. I can imagine his face turning purple red and his eyes bulging and the veins popping out of his neck. He's never had anybody defy him to his face like this. I mean, he's Nebuchadnezzar, king of the world, the greatest king that's ever lived. And he orders the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual, and he commands the strongest soldiers to tie them up and throw them into the blazing furnace. And they throw Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace, and the men who throw them in are consumed by the flames. That's how hot the furnace was. And they were burned to a crisp. I want you to note, God did not save Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace. They got thrown into it. And when they were thrown into it, in their minds, they thought they would be burned to a crisp. They were putting God first in their lives at any cost to themselves. God is so great, He's worth living for, but He's so great, He's worth dying for. And they were giving their lives for God because they put Him first. Their goal was not to live. Their goal was to glorify God. Do you see? They got thrown into the fiery furnace. Let me ask you, what fiery furnace have you found yourself in? Things heating up in your life? Getting hotter? You know, the interesting thing, when it's as hot as you can stand and the heat's the hottest it's ever been and the fire is the worst it's ever been, and it can be fire of suffering, physical, emotional, spiritual, it can be persecution, it can be financial problems, it can be marital problems. I don't know what the fiery furnace is for you. They were in the fiery furnace when the fire was the hottest. That's when everybody gathered around to stare inside. Everybody was watching them. And when the fire is the hottest in your life, you can bet the world is going to be gathered around to watch you and to see what's going on in your life. When they watch you in the fire, what do they see? When everybody gathered around to look at Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, they saw Jesus. In verse 24, Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement, and he asked his advisors, "Wasn't it three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" "Certainly, O king," they replied. And he said, "But look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the Son of God." He saw Jesus. Do you see, Jesus doesn't promise that He will rescue us from the fire, but He will be present with us in the fire. Isaiah chapter 43, He promises, "When you pass through the fire, I'll be there with you." And there was Jesus in their midst when they were in the fire. Dear friend, if you're in the fire, Jesus is in your midst. And Jesus was in their midst in such a way that everybody watching could see. So Nebuchadnezzar shouts to them, he says, and now look how respectful he is, "Servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." And so now they come out of the fiery furnace, they have to step over the charred remains of the guards who had tossed them in, and they stand in front of Nebuchadnezzar. There's not a smell of smoke on them, nothing has been singed. You know the only thing that got burned up? The things that bound them. Sometimes God lets you go through the fire in order to set you free from that which binds you. They were better off after they'd been through the fire. Their fetters had been burned off. They were free. And Nebuchadnezzar praises God. In verse 28, this is the Nebuchadnezzar who had mocked God and said, "What God is able to deliver you?" And in verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar says, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent His angel and rescued His servants. They trusted in Him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, He issues a strange decree that people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of these three will be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble." Just His pagan way of making sure that everybody praises God. Do you see, the world even was glorifying God because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were putting God first in their lives, worshiping in a world of the counterfeit. They were true to Christ and they didn't compromise, and the whole world gave glory to God. But beyond that, in this chapter, over 13 times, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego are mentioned by name. It's as though God Himself is so proud of them, He just can't help but talk of them. He keeps talking of them and speaking of them and mentioning their name. It's as though you can hear God's applause. And you hear heaven's applause for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who live their lives to the glory of God. One day, Will you hear heaven's applause for you? Will you hear God applauding you in front of the whole universe? Well done, well done. Because you have lived your life for His glory. As you have walked in a changing world, you haven't changed. You've been true to your convictions. And as you have worked in a world of confusion and chaos, you've been true to your commission to glorify God. And as you have worshiped in a world of counterfeit, you've been true to Christ. I'm challenging you this evening. Would you live your life to the glory of God, that you might receive heaven's applause? Would you pray with me, please? And in the quietness of this moment, even before we have our break, I encourage you right now, would you make the decision to put God first? Don't you want to be better off? You want to have a life that works? Increasingly, as our country becomes like Babylon, the only life that will work is a life that puts God first. Would you make the decision? Perhaps some of you need to remake that decision. Keep the commitment and then live in the confidence that you're better off because of it. Lord God, we thank you and praise you that our God is God of gods and Lord of kings, that the God of Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego is our God today. And if for no other reason, you are worth living for. You are worth dying for. You are worth first place in our lives at any cost to ourselves. Lord, I pray that you would draw us to yourself that we might, in this day and time, live our lives to the glory of God so that other people see us and glorify our Father which is in heaven. We ask that you take this message, that you seal it in our hearts, that you use it in the music that we now listen to prepare us to hear the next message that we might understand what's involved living a life that works in a nation that's in decline and becoming pluralistic. Lord, teach us what it means to practice what we believe. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now here's Anne with this final word.
Today, our nation is in crisis. We have a crisis of leadership that I believe is the result of a crisis of courage and a crisis of convictions. Are you part of the crisis? What are your convictions concerning the gospel, concerning Jesus Christ? Are you convinced that no one will ever be accepted by God? No one will ever get into heaven except they come through Jesus? Since that is what Jesus himself said, then if you're not convinced he spoke the truth, you have a crisis of faith. If you do believe what Jesus said, then do you have the courage to speak up and state the truth publicly? Many Christians in our politically correct culture not only lack the courage to stand up for the truth, that faith in Jesus Christ alone is the only way to God, they actually reproach, discourage, and hinder others who do. For the moment, never mind them. What about you? When have you spoken up for Jesus? When have you told someone about Jesus who doesn't know him? Are you recoiling in fear, protesting? Anne, I could never do that. I'm afraid my neighbors would never speak to me again. I may lose my popularity, promotion, position, prestige. Yes, you may. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to compromise their convictions, God did not save them from the fiery furnace. They actually were thrown into it. But then, God showed up. He was right there in the midst of the fire with them, and He will be with you. Don't miss the thrill of experiencing His presence in the midst of your fire.
You can hear Living in the Light with Anne Graham Lotz weekly, and for ways to experience the God-filled life as you pursue your personal Bible study, go to annegrahamlotz.org. She'll help you get started with free resources you can use and share with others. Join us here each week for Living in the Light.